Mark tells us that Jesus taught as one with authority, one who somehow was different from the ordinary teachers and somehow was able to be utterly convicting and compelling with what it was he had to say. Many of us have ambivalent feelings about power and authority. You know the dictum from Lord Acton that power tends to corrupt and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you do not recognize, it is the soon-to-be former speaker, one of the three most powerful men in the state of New York, about to resign his position under federal charges for bribery. At the end of the other end of the spectrum, we think of power and authority as somehow weak-kneed and incompetent. If you're old enough, you may remember the esteemed Barney Fife, who was the epitome of, well, I got the badge, that means I've got it, right? And we understand that when it comes to power and authority, just because you have the title or the nameplate on the door or the badge, the golden badge to flash, it doesn't necessarily bring everything to light. In case you're too young to remember Barney, here's a taste of Barney.
I have something to say. Now, men, I have just one thing to say. This isn't going to be kid stuff.
Oh, Barney.
Sheriff, no. Now, there won't be room for any mistakes out there. One mistake is one too many. And you'll each be on your own. There'll be no mollycoddling. That badge means something. Don't any of you disgrace it.
I won't, sir.
Did you have permission to talk?
No, sir.
What's your badge number?
3.
All right, 3. Watch it. Now listen, men, and listen good. There's liable to be trouble out there today. We're liable to have folks among us who are here for more than just a good time, if you know what I mean. Now, the minute it looks like there's going to be trouble, we got to nip it. Nip it in the bud. You get that? Let's hear it.
Nip it.
Sir, may I ask something?
Badge number?
2.
All right, 2, go ahead.
Are we going to be armed?
No, I'm afraid not, gentlemen. I'm afraid there won't be any time to educate you men in the proper use of firearms. Somebody could get hurt. You see, if you're not familiar with firearms, these babies can go off. Now...
Well, yep, he says. Mark tells us that Jesus taught as one with authority, not as the scribes do, not as one who simply quotes others and cites texts and repeats lessons that have been handed down, but as one who has something authentic and genuine to say that comes from the core of their being. You have been around teachers, I believe, who have taught in that fashion. Well, there are good teachers who know how to convey the subject matter at hand, and then there are those great teachers. The great teachers who, when they open their mouth, you want to soak it in, because you know that they are speaking not only about a subject matter that's important to them, but because they believe it will make a difference in your life and because they believe in you to see that difference. Jesus taught as one with authority, whose voice, whose manner, whose spirit, whose message was authentic and real and compelling. We who have mixed feelings at best about power. We who have been taught in some ways that power belongs out there, that we as the body of Christ are called instead to be blessed by being meek and mild and gentle. We forget what Nelson read from the book of Psalms that declares that God has been the creator of everything that exists, the most powerful force in all the world. Jesus comes to point to that one. Now, for years, I have read the Gospel of Mark and have always thought Mark got it wrong. I thought that when Mark's gospel started, it really should begin slowly and work its way up to the hard stuff. So why is it that this week we encountered Jesus casting out demons and next week healing somebody's relative? I would always have wanted to put them in the opposite direction. That we do the simple stuff, begin to demonstrate Jesus' competency, and then grow into the harder stuff over time. But as I have studied the scripture this week, I've come to a new and fresh understanding that Mark wants us to see Jesus in the fullness of who he is, not to settle for him as some ordinary healing magician of the time, but as someone who taps into the very power of God, the power to change things to their core. When you and I come for communion in a few moments, I'm going to invite you in the silence of your own soul to focus not merely on what it is you'd like Jesus to do for what's obvious about your life that's not complete, but also to dig deep and begin to name what it is way down inside of you. Something perhaps that you have never ever said aloud before. To dig way down inside and name the spirit that haunts and torments and keeps you from being whole. Earlier this morning, I preached this message at Brown Memorial Church on the Near West Side. And in the course of doing so, I looked around that small congregation and recognized that there were at least one or two persons there who had decided at some point in their life to come clean from the addiction that had controlled their life for so long. And I reminded them what you know as well, that the bottle and the pills and the other kinds of drugs are not the real issue, that it's something inside of us that really needs healing, fixing, removal. And so Jesus, here at the very beginning of the Gospel of Mark, in the holy place, finds himself being goaded by a man with an impure or unclean or afflicted spirit who says, "I know who you are and why are you here? Are you here to destroy us?" And the answer to that question is yes. God's love is not meant to destroy us, but destroy that in us which is incomplete and which keeps us from being everything that we are intended to be by the graciousness of God. There are a couple other slides I want to put up very quickly. Barney Fife was a prime example of someone who held power by his position. Jesus, however, exercised personal power. It came not because someone had given him a title or a position, but because he had been given authority by the one who birthed him. Or a different way of understanding that is the relationship between positional power, personal power, and relational power, so that all of Jesus's power was intended not for his own sake, but for the benefit of those around him. The late basketball coach, John Wooden, renowned for his prowess on the court, but also for his ability in conveying leadership messages to the young men that he taught year after year after year, summed it up this way, that the most powerful leadership tool you have is your own personal example. If we are to be faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we are to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, then we are to learn from him and to teach what we ourselves have come to know, to speak freely of it, to speak convincingly of it, and to remind others again and again and again of the love of God made known in Jesus that calls for us to be our best at all times. Amen.